Well, good morning. This is kind of a bittersweet sermon here because we have some news that I want to share with you guys before we get started, and that's that I have been called to pastor a church in New Salem, or at New Salem Baptist. So this will be my last sermon here as a member. So I do want to take the opportunity just to thank you all for loving me so well, for loving my family so well. And it's, you know, from the kids all the way up to the most seasoned saints that, you know, we want to say on behalf of my family, we want to say that we love you. We love you in Christ. And of course, that we love you because Christ first loved us. So thank you again for loving us so well. And this building has so many memories already. It's only been a couple years, but I was just thinking that, you know, Sarah and I got married right here, that we made a covenant with each other and with God in this building, and we walked down this aisle, and that same aisle our twins just raced down the other day, and Junior won, if you're wondering. And but seriously, there was, you know, this building has meant so much to me. I've been able to grab my father's arm and bring him down into the water and up in baptism. So God has been good to us here, and he's been good to us, you know, without even all these events. God is still good, but this congregation and this building gives us so much to rejoice and to be thankful about. So as I was asked to preach today, I remember thinking that this may be my last sermon to you, and it turns out that it is. So I remember thinking, well, if it was my last sermon, what would I want to tell the congregation? What would I want to say? And what would I want to preach to the saints here in Ellsbury and in my hometown? And this is what I've decided to preach to you this morning. It's titled Remembrance. It's titled Remembrance, and I decided that I can't do anything more than to call the people of God here to remember. To remember your great God and Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ. So with that being said, would you open your Bibles to Psalm chapter 77, and I'm just going to be reading two verses, verse 11 and 12, and that's on page 577 in the Pew Bibles. Psalm 77, verses 11 and 12. Says this: I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. This is the word of the Lord. May the Lord bless the preaching and the teaching of his word. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So verse 11 that I just read, it says that I will remember the deeds of the Lord. And that is actually, that has been my prayer, that's what would happen today. That is just a simple reminder to remember the Lord. It doesn't have to be extravagant. I wanted to make it as simple as I can, and that's what remembering is, to encourage or to exhort you all to remember the most important thing that we can often tend to forget. So you might say, well, I do. I already remember the Lord. You know, you get the idea of maybe you heard a sermon before and you're like, I already know this. And that's not the way that you're supposed to listen. That's not, you know, you need to hear it again. And that's the same thing with remembrance. Remembrance is not an easy task. It's not something that, you know, that comes easy. It takes effort. So don't think that you don't have to put in any effort to remember. Don't think that you can just trust your own brains, random thoughts, just to sit back and wait for a memory to pop up. That's not what I'm talking about here. You must actively put in the effort and the discipline and the practice to remember the goodness of God in your life. And sometimes it's difficult for me to even remember what I ate yesterday. So if you added more time, the more time you add, the more the probability that I'm going to forget what I ate. And I would venture to say that same thing happens to you, because the more time you put between you and an event, the higher the chance it is to be forgotten. And now I know that remembering what we eat is far less important than remembering God's goodness in our life. But even still, we still suffer from the forgetfulness, even in the most important area of our life that we're called to remember, don't we? We get caught up in life and its responsibilities, and we fail to do, as the former pastor J.R. Packer once said, he said, to live slowly enough to be able to think deeply about God, end quote. That is why I've titled this sermon, Remembrance, and I desire to stir each one of you up just by way of reminder. So I want to exhort the people of God to remember in every area of their life, whether it be in their past, in their present, or even in their future. Any direction that you look in your life, I want to shoot out a flare. I want to get you to stop and to slow down and to ultimately just remember what God has done in your life. So remember who God is and remember what God has promised in the future to those who love Him. So I hear Pastor Andrew, he says something quite frequently when he prays for the congregation, and he says something like this. He says, Lord, help us not to be a forgetful people. So in recognition that we have a battle going on with our own minds because we are prone to wander, are we not? Do we not forget often? Do we not need reminding often? And it's Pastor Andrew's prayer of remembrance that should be the heart cry of every under-shepherd as they lead their people, that they would remember the goodness of God, that they would not forget where they came from and where they're going. So with that in mind, brothers and sisters, the first thing to remember is this. The first thing to remember is where you came from. To remember where you came from. So being in a small town like Ellsbury, if somebody here made it to the big leagues and they got to play on the Cardinals, and I'm sure when they came back to town, you would hear people say, don't forget where you came from. And they would tell you that just to keep him humble, to stay humble. And the same thing is with someone who is, say, there was someone, a poor man who would later become wealthy. And now that wealthy man remembers where he came from. When he remembers that he used to be homeless, it should humble him. And so it should be with us, friends, that as the people of God, to remember where you came from is to remember that you were once far off, that you were far away from the Lord at one point in your life. That should humble you. To remember where you came from is to remember, as Ephesians 2 puts it, that we were dead in trespasses and sins. To remember where you came from is to remember the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, whereby the indwelling Spirit of God, you have come to hate the sins that you once loved. And even now that you wage war against the sin that you once embraced. Now, our Heavenly Father, He reminds us, and even in the Scriptures, He reminds the Israelites many, many a times in the Old Testament to remember where they came from. You can find this specific phrase in the Scriptures as a call of remembrance, and it's riddled all throughout the Old Testament. God says this to the Israelites, and He says this to us also as Christians. You could say that we're like the spiritual version of the Israelites in many cases. He says, it should be on the screen. He says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. So God is continually reminding the Israelites where they came from. You can find this passage of Scripture in many varieties, but it's saying, to remember where you came from in many of the books. It's found in Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. It's found in the Psalms. So God is continually reminding the Israelites to remember where they came from. And by doing that, their souls should be settled and their hearts should be assured and their minds should remember and recall God's faithfulness in their life, as they look back and they remember where they came from. So would you take a second this morning and praise God as you remember His faithfulness in your life too? In Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, I am certain of this. So what is he certain of? He says, I am certain of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion on the day of Christ. So friends, we can be assured that if indeed Christ has begun a good work in you, he's going to bring it to completion. That's something that's praiseworthy. And you can be assured that as the spiritual Israelites that we are, though we're in the desert, though we're in a dry land right now, we are also guided by the providential hand of God. Though we are headed towards the promised land that God has prepared for us when Christ returns, it is good for us to remember where we came from. It is good to look back and to see that God has begun a good work in you, and God will bring it to completion. This is why I believe that sharing your testimonies is not just a blessing to the hearers, but also to the one who shares, because you have to go back in time and you remember, as the scriptures say, that it was the Lord who has brought you out of the land of Egypt. It was the Lord who has brought you out of the bondage of slavery of sin when you came to faith in Christ. You remember it was the Lord who brought you to life by faith in Christ. You remember that temporary sufferings on this side of eternity are leading to an eternal home with Christ, because God has been so good to you. Amen? Amen. Amen. Looking back can be done in a healthy and a biblical way. But looking back can also be done in the wrong way, in an unhealthy way too. So when you do revisit the past, make sure that you are looking to God when you look back. Looking back reveals the arm of the Lord in your life. Don't just look back at your problems and then forget that the Lord was in it all. Don't do that. That is not helpful, and it's not healthy for any Christian. You must remember where you came from, beloved, and remember that it was our great God that has brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the bondage of slavery. So, hear me out. If there's anything that I can exhort you to do, I've prayed about it, I've thought about it, and I've come to the idea of remembrance, it is this. If there's anything I can exhort you to do, it is to remember where you came from. And now that we have established that importance, or the importance of remembering where you came from, let's consider another area to remember, and it's this. I want you also to remember the present, or the right here and right now. And even more specifically, in this present time, I want you to remember the Lord Jesus Christ, to remember your Savior. Excuse me. And as I said, you can say in your spirit that I already do remember him, but there's a way even now that you can grow and you can learn from it, and you can say, okay, I need to put this into practice in certain areas of my life to establish a way to actually put it into practice. But what good would it be if we look back at God's faithfulness in the past, but we failed to recognize it right now? What good would it be if we look back and we hungered and we thirst for God's presence, but right now we don't hunger or thirst for God? What good would that be, friends? It's a rhetorical question. It's, you know, it wouldn't be any good if I look back at God's faithfulness and then I failed to recognize it right here and right now in the present. So, brothers and sisters, let's take a second together as the body of Christ, and I want to give thanks to God for the right here and the right now. And in fact, I want to do it by a quick prayer. So if you all would join me in praying and giving thanks to God, would you please bow your head as I do this? Father, we thank you for the right here and the right now. We recall your wondrous works in our lives. We remember your blessed hand on our heart as we have tasted and seen your goodness in our past, and even in this very moment, Father. Father, would you continue with us as we put into practice remembering you in all aspects of our life. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 As I had told my wife that I was going to pray in the middle of the service, and she's like, whoa. I'm like, what? We can pray in the middle of service, right? We can do that. The enemy would love to keep you distracted and busy, friends, and not just at work either. You can be distracted, you can be busy here just sitting in the pew. As we fight against the world, the flesh, and the devil, as they press us from every single angle, every direction, from the outside and even our own flesh from within, as our minds can constantly fall prey to forgetfulness, to anxiety, to fear, to doubt, This right here, this is a weapon that you can use to strike them all down. Now I pray you can take this simple and practical advice and add it to your arsenal to fight these battles of the mind. And this simple yet practical advice will make the enemy flee. It will put you on the right track. It will put you on solid ground. And that advice is what I've been speaking about, beloved. It's to remember the Lord Jesus Christ, risen from the dead and coming back again. The Apostle Paul said the same thing to Timothy in the Scriptures. And it should be on the screen. Notice what he tells Timothy. Timothy, who is already a born-again believer, who is already shepherding the people of God, who is already preaching and teaching people about the Christ. Listen to what Paul tells Timothy. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 7 and 8, it says, "Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything." And then he says, "Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel." So Timothy, a leader in the early church, and what does Paul tell him to do? He simply encourages him to remember Jesus Christ, to stop being timid and letting fear of man creep in, and to keep him, Timothy, from speaking boldly of eternal things. Some may wrongly think that it's only the weak or it's only the young that need reminding, but that's not true, friends. The most seasoned saints could also use a word every now and then from a brother or sister in Christ that just simply comes up to them and says, "Remember the Lord Jesus Christ in all your endeavors." The pastors, the deacons, the leaders of the church need the same reminder as the whole congregation, to bring them back to what matters most, and that is the gospel. That is Jesus Christ. And I think Martin Luther hit the nail on the head when he said, "We need to hear the gospel every day because we forget it every day." So here is something you can do on a daily basis to stay freshened up in your memory and your remembering of Jesus Christ. You can recall the gospel. You can recall it to yourself every day because, as Martin Luther's quote just said, he said that we forget it every day. So here is something that you can do. Here is a practical way to stir you up. And it is just a call to remember the gospel. Whether it's when you wake up or it's when you hop in the shower or when you're driving to work, you can recall the gospel and it should uplift your soul. And another benefit of reminding yourself daily of the gospel is that you'll become more and more confident of being able to articulate it, and then you'll be able to share it with others with more boldness and more confidence, because that message is the power of God unto salvation. Did you know that there's also another way that we can remember the right here and the right now? And it's actually set in the church once a week so that you may draw your attention to Christ and commune with Him. You know what that is? It's the Lord's Supper, where we take the bread and the wine or the juice, just as Jesus and His disciples did. And what did Jesus say when He handed it out? He said, "This is my body, this is my blood." And then he says, "Do this in remembrance of me." And it's actually even written on the commune table. I don't know if you can see it, but it's engraved in the front there. It says, "Do this," or "this do," in remembrance of me. It's a big deal when we come to the Lord's table and we take a second and we remember Jesus Christ. And as I partake in the Lord's Supper, I look at the elements and I look at the bread and I think, God has made a way for me. I say, God has made a way for me to be reconciled, because God has clothed Himself in flesh and He entered creation. And then I look at the cross and I consider the bread, or Christ's body broken for me, broken for us. And I remember my sinless Savior died a criminal's death, as Pastor Greg likes to say, so that by faith in Him, I may have communion with the living Lord. And as I look at the bread, I'm reminded of the goodness of God in the right here and the right now. And then I look at the wine or the juice, and I remember that Christ's blood, and I think of that scripture that says that there is no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. So I remember in the right here and right now, I also remember that Jesus, as I look at the wine, that Jesus washed away my sin by His blood. And I also like to sing, have the song in my head that what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And then I also remember in Luke 22:20, it says that this cup, Jesus says, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. So as I look at the wine or the juice, I remember that I am in a covenantal relationship with God. That my Father, who sent His only begotten Son, accepted the only perfect sacrifice, which was Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And Jesus Himself told the disciples, do this in remembrance of Me. So, beloved, I am simply reminding you to remember Him. To remember just means to bring to one's mind, or the opposite of remember is to forget, which is defined as a failure to remember. I've shared a quote from a pastor that relates to this subject quite often because it's been so helpful to me in remembering, and it's a quote from John Flavel. It should be on the screen. It's only 5 words long, but it holds so much weight when you think about what he's actually saying. He says this. He says, forgotten mercies bear no fruit. Forgotten mercies bear no fruit. If you have forgotten God's grace and His mercy in your life, then your heart is becoming barren. It's or fruitless. But the good news, though, is that if you want to bear good fruit, you only need to remember God's mercies in your life. If you want to bear fruit, good fruit, you only need to remember the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you may be trying to live on yesterday's manna, but the bread of heaven is for you today. The manna from heaven is Jesus, and He can satisfy your hunger right here and right now. So, beloved, remember that Jesus Christ is the only answer. Give thanks to God in the right here and the right now. And then, as I've encouraged you to look to the past and to remember where you came from, and I encourage you to remember the right here and right now, to remember Jesus Christ, I also have one last thing for you to remember, and it is this. It should be on the screen. It is to remember where you're going. To remember where you're going. The Lord has saved you. He has set you apart. He has shown you immeasurable grace and mercy. The Lord has also prepared a place for you who are His people. As you consider the future, it should cause an excitement or a longing for that there is a finish line that we are eager to cross. The consummation of the kingdom of God when Christ returns is the best promise that could ever happen to us in the future. We will be with Christ forever, without sin or suffering. Amen. And just for that reason, my friends, I encourage you to remember where you're going. Amen. To forget where you're going, it would be like running a race, and then before you cross the finish line, you stop running because you forgot, and then you only walk off the track and just to be disqualified before even crossing the finish line. As you remember where you're going, it helps you. That it provides for you an eternal perspective. So it will help you with the urgency and the importance of the time that you have here before you cross the finish line. It will provide strength in the hard times where physical pain may be hard to endure, but you know that one day in the future, you'll be with Christ with a glorified body that will no longer experience physical pain. Remember where you're going. It will provide mental strength when you feel down in the valley of depression or spiritual battles, all that stuff, anxiety. But you know that one day in the future, all these fallen mental and spiritual battles will vanish and give way to an incomprehensible love and joy and bliss that's never ending. Brothers and sisters, remember where you're going. Run the race that is set before you, and do not forget the prize that awaits you at the end. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 14, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So press on, friends. Press on and imitate Paul, remembering where you're going, and remember the prize that awaits you. We have just recently finished going through the book of Revelation, so this should be even more fresh in our minds of what God has prepared for us in the future when Christ returns. So Revelation 21 is God's revelation to us about the future. And let me read it to you again, because even though we have just recently gone through it, we can still forget. So it should be on the screen, brothers and sisters. This is where you are going. This is where you're going. I can keep saying, this is where you're going. Revelation 21, verse 3 and 4, it says, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." Amen. So this is the future that awaits those who have put their trust in Christ. Does this not give us great reason to rejoice? If you are struggling today in whatever area of your life that it may be, and you are a true Christian, remember this is waiting for you at the finish line. Your struggles, as hard or as difficult as they may be, are not going to last forever. Thanks be to God. So I exhort you one last time, as the saints of Ellsbury, to remember where you're going. And before I close in prayer, before I close in prayer, there might be some people in here who can't actually remember anything regarding the Lord because you aren't actually born again yet. Maybe you're here because you have to be, or maybe you're here because you're looking for peace in your soul. Whatever the case may be, the good news is still a message to you. Jesus is still calling people to himself. And if I was sitting in this church at age 26, I would be one of those counted as those who did not know Christ yet. You can never be too old. You can never be too young to come to Christ. And it is a glorious thing to cry out to the Lord that saves. And if the Lord is in fact drawing you this morning to repent and to turn from your sins, then do it and don't wait another day. If the Lord is opening your eyes to the seriousness of your sin, then do it and don't wait another day. If Jesus' demonstration of love towards you on the cross can cause you both to weep and to worship, then do it and don't wait another day. Cry out to God this morning, dear friends. Jesus will not cast away anyone who comes to him in faith. Would you approach God today and trust in Christ? Would you all pray with me? Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this congregation. I thank you for your people. I thank you for them, even for myself personally, for ministering to me. Lord, I pray that you would bless them a hundredfold in their lives, Lord, that whatever it may be, that you would continually protect them, that you would allow them to remember your goodness, that you would allow them to remember where they came from, to remember the right here and right now, and how you are in this very moment sustaining us, Lord. And I also ask, Lord, that you would help them remember the future, your promises, that one day we will be with Christ forever. And I pray that you would use our minds to glorify you. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.